Today's August 13th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $123,609.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Rick, I've got a serious question to ask you beginning this podcast here.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot about Trump wanting to get rid of Jerome Powell, how he was going to attempt to, I think he was going to try and put some criminal actions against him, probably civil more than criminal, actions against him for the renovations that's going on at the Fed. Is that right? Have you heard that?
Something about that. I mean, he was touring the construction site with him, and as he started dressing him down in front of the reporters. Interesting.
Well, so this is what my question is. Why is the American taxpayer paying for renovations to the Fed? They're neither federal, nor do they hold reserves. It's a private bank, basically.
A private bank with a monopoly on the creation of money, and they control interest rates.
Yeah.
But nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. I was just like, why are taxpayers paying for this? I don't understand
this. Because most taxpayers think it actually is federal and they do reserve something. So, because it's in the name.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. It is in the name. It is in the name. You know, it's funny. I think I've talked to you a few times about one of my coworkers that they're into Bitcoin and stuff like that, but they're still, I don't know if they really grasp the whole money game yet. Actually got her to buy the Creature from Jekyll Island recently. So that one and the Fourth Turning. So hopefully that leaves a little bit of an impact. So, pricing news today, new all-time high, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
We, on my way home a little bit earlier, I was out in town running some errands. It looks like we actually got as high as 124,000. Right around 500 and some change. So yeah, definitely new all-time high territory. Question being, do you think we're going to see a breakout from here? Or do you think we're going to kind of just continue to tread up and to the right? Just slow.
I think it's general chop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, earlier this morning when I looked at it, it looked like it hit 122 and then bounced down to 120. But then it picked up some momentum and somehow got back up to 124. And
yeah.
It's bouncing back down. So
from when you looked at it, it looks like it hit, and because I'm looking at the candle right here, probably when that happened, it hit 122.019. And then it, I actually went to 122.197, and then it shot all the way down to 120. And then it came back in the next candle up. I mean, yeah. It's been, I don't know. It felt like, I was like, well, maybe we are leading them to new all-time high again. And I think it's kind of interesting because the amount of money that it takes to move Bitcoin to an all-time high every time like this, just to move up with as high a price as it is, it takes a lot more cash than it ever used to. So.
Oh, yeah. You got to think, going from, you know, back when it was 12,000 or whatever, 12,000, even to 12,300, that was a lot less cash needed to move that needle.
Yeah.
4 years ago, whenever that was, 5 years ago, probably now. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of exciting, but the one surprise that I've been watching lately is Ethereum.
Yeah. It's finally having its little bit of a heyday. It's what, above 43?
Yeah. I think last I checked, it was at 44. I mean, 43 is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, it's a 47,250 right now, or 47,25.
Oh my goodness. So it's even jumped a lot since I last saw it.
Yeah.
So we're finally having the altcoin season. I mean, we don't generally talk about it because both of us are generally Bitcoin maxis. But, you know, if you've held onto your Ethereum this long, hooray for you.
Yeah, it's finally. Well, but even that though, so I've got to look and see, is that an all-time high for Ethereum or no? It's not, right?
Yes. I think that is. I don't think it ever got to 47.
No, it looks like it looks like it got up to 4867 in November of 21.
Wow. So, but it's been wallowing ever since. I mean, it never, if you look at the Bitcoin versus Ethereum chart, it's finally picking up some steam, but it was getting crushed.
Oh, it looked like
so,
dog, you know what, for a while there. I was like, man, this thing is doing awful.
Awful. But you know what? Ethereum, even when Bitcoin was going down recently, Ethereum was going up. And I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and maybe we finally will get, you know, that alt season. It does happen whenever Bitcoin goes into its true parabolic runs, like, and Bitcoin will trade sideways during that time. And then all of a sudden you'll see these alts just start popping off. So yeah, good. I mean, that's good to see Ethereum do that, because that means if Ethereum's doing that, then we're probably going to start to see that in a slew of the other meme tokens and all that other junk that's going to be out there. Yeah, I still go back to saying, like, I mean, if we're not going to see the explosive move, are we going to see the people talking about trading meme stocks or meme cryptos and giving you advice, being like, oh yeah, this is when you buy this. And it's like, oh my God, it's time to get out of the market. It's done.
Exactly. Well, I'm kind of concerned about the people saying that there's no more 4-year cycle.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so.
I bought into that hype a few times.
You've been burnt by that one a few times. Hopefully Hans has learned his lesson this time.
I think at this point though, I'm just so prepared. Like, I know what it's like already, right? Like, when it went from, you know, 20 grand down to, you know, like $1,000 again, I was like,
it went down to 3, right?
Yeah, it went down to 3. That still hurt.
That's a rough ride.
That was a rough ride. That, you know, and it's funny because that seemed like a much rougher ride than like if it went down to like 80 right now, I probably wouldn't be like, eh, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If the halving, or if the, let's say 123 is the top, or 124, if it went down to half that, which is what, 62,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty easy to do in Bitcoin winters.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this for the, you know, for a little while, but as long as Bitcoin is denominated in dollars, it's going to have its bear market.
Yeah.
Just what makes this one interesting is the government is being so crazy with its spending, and the debt is just keeps growing even quicker than we expect. I mean,
yeah, we'll have to dive into that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a shorter winter. And really, when it hits the winter time, it's really time to pick up them coins, yeah. In my opinion.
No, I completely agree. That's the time when you stack. So, I mean, we've got to ask. So how are your theoreticals looking?
Okay. Theoretical number one, purchased back in October 2023. I said if you would have put $3,000 about October 27th-ish, you'd be looking, sitting pretty good in the not too distant future. Well, that $3,000 purchase would have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin, and now it is worth $10,939. So almost 11 grand from $3,000.
That's pretty damn good.
That's mighty fine.
All right.
Theoretical number two, purchased right at the halving when Bitcoin was at $64,000, roughly. And $1,000. I said, just buy $1,000 at this time if you can. And if you would have bought $1,000, and this is April 19th, 2024, so basically 16 months ago, and now that investment is worth $1,000, is worth $1,933.
So
almost double.
And I mean, that's pretty damn good.
I mean, obviously, theoretical buy number one, that was the time to buy it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I mean, it's interesting too, because I think we've said on this multiple times, not financial advice, but you need to hold it for at least 4 years. And that theoretical one is almost approaching that 4-year mark. I mean, we still basically have a little bit over a year before we get there, but you're starting to see what that looks like. If you can sit on that money without touching it, what that starts to turn into.
Well, and that's the toughest part about being in Bitcoin is buying when you're reaching those all-time lows. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were talking about when it went from 20 to 3.
Yeah.
I mean, and the $3,000 happened in the middle of COVID. Everything was crashing. But if you had the wherewithal at the time, you could have just bought something for $3,000 that is now worth $123,000. Yeah. Just think about that.
Yeah. I kick myself because I think I've told you, like, I want to get my niece that's got that money. Like, I wanted to get her to buy some, get some skin in the game. And I keep them, I'm like, oh, is it too, like, do I wait until the bottom and then really convince them to buy, you know, when it goes down? Or do I just tell them, all right, let's just put some money in now. Like, just buy. I know it's going to go down. That's always, yeah, and it's going to happen.
Well, that's the newbie dilemma, right? Mm-hmm. You get them to buy now, which means they finally jumped in. But then Murphy's Law says it's going to go straight down and cut maybe in half. And then you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Or you tell them, oh, wait till, you know, let's say that the price peaks in October, like let's say October, November, like it did last time. And in a year from that, it's the perfect time to buy it, right?
Yeah.
But come a year from that, they watch the price go down so much. They're like, oh, I'm not getting in now.
Yeah, I'm not buying
it. And then they don't do it. So.
Yeah, I think whenever I do get them to do it, I'm going to just have to tell them, like, whatever you do decide to do, you will hold it for 4 years. You will not touch it. Like, just wait.
No, you will not touch it. You will not look at the price. You will just forget you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about it. I mean, unless things are ultimately like just horrible and you have to do something with them, but yeah, forget about it. Yeah. So, man, it's exciting times. I like to see that. So let's go into some of the other news that we got going on here. So we're looking at the Far Side, which basically we used whenever we're looking at the ETF moves. And I mean, it looks like it's fairly good across the board. Even Grayscale, they had some positive inflows on a few days here, finally.
Mark that on the calendar.
Yeah, 14 million. But look at that. That's like 14 million, 18 million, 7.5 million. And then they almost lost it all because they sold 21.6 million. But they actually had some inflows.
No, I don't know who would be doing inflows with Grayscale, but, you know, more power to you.
We're still seeing some purchasing, obviously, from BlackRock, but we're not seeing that crazy purchasing, like where we saw almost, what, like $1 billion in one go? Yeah.
Hey, I'm not complaining about that either. It's generally positive, and prices are at pretty much new all-time highs. It's a good day.
One thing I want to reiterate to people, and I want them to understand it, especially if they see like the tweet saying, you know, well, BlackRock now holds, you know, or they just purchased, blah, blah, blah. Keep in mind, BlackRock is not buying any Bitcoin. This is their investors. This is people that are trading through BlackRock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they are on the back end somewhere, some way, shape, or form, but yeah, it's not.
Well, I'm pretty sure BlackRock holds some of it.
Yeah.
Right? Or they're investing their own. But yeah, most of this is their investors that are, and BlackRock is making their money on the commissions of the buying and the selling of the Bitcoin.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just want to make that a public announcement. Just like the Federal Reserve is not federal, nor does it have any reserves. Continuing on. So CPI numbers. We got CPI numbers the other day. They came in a little bit better than expected. July CPI rose 2.7% year over year, which was below the forecast. And core CPI hit 3.1%, which, I mean, we've talked about CPI for quite a while on this podcast now. And we've been also looking at the trueflation numbers lately because of, you know, you were saying, hey, we got to look at that. And yeah, we were looking at that trueflation for the whole month of July. The highest it ever got to was 2.06%. Not anywhere near the 2.7. I mean, it's pretty close, but I wonder where they're getting that.
I have no idea. You know what, though? I trust trueflation because I think the government has a lot of incentives to cook the books.
Mm-hmm.
Though it seems like it's backwards now. Trueflation is saying inflation is much lower than the government numbers. And it almost feels like, if I could describe it as anything, it would be like a controlled demolition of the economy that the Federal Reserve is doing. Because they've been, I mean, realistically, all interest rates are still ridiculously low. But from what we've been at in the slow in the growth of the economy, from what I'm seeing in the fall of inflation, it seems like they're just hell-bent on keeping interest rates at where they are and just letting things fall apart. And you know what? If Jerome Powell cuts interest rates next month, I'll be proven wrong, but I don't see it happening. That's my take.
He seems like he just doesn't, like he's just adamantly, he won't do it just because he would be cowering to Trump. Sure there's other things at play, but looking at the inflation numbers here, grocery prices rose 2.2%. With both coffee and ground beef seeing double-digit increases. The ground beef, we kind of saw that coming, especially after the flooding that we saw in Texas. A lot of cattle kind of got wiped out from that, if you weren't paying attention. Dining out costs surged. They went up 3.9%. Gas prices were down 9.5% year over year, which helps offset a lot of the inflation. Although I've seen the prices starting to come back up at the pump lately. I don't know. They're saying so tariffs on imports starting to pressure prices. The peak impact is expected by 2026. And then something we kind of touched on earlier, you were mentioning this at the beginning of the podcast. The national debt hit $37 trillion on August 8th, I believe.
Yep. And which is kind of nuts.
Yeah. And that wasn't projected to happen until October.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, a month and a half early?
Yeah.
No, 2.5 months early. Actually, if my math is correct, my math is mathing. 2.5 months early. Yeah, that's not good.
And I can't remember what they said that it's projected right now that it's so many billions a day that the government's going to be spending. And it's just billions from every single day for the remainder of this year. And it looks like that. I mean, that's kind of scary that they're actually that far ahead. So debt per person right now currently is $106,000. Per household is $274,000. And it's expected to reach $38 trillion by year end right now. That's crazy. $3 trillion. It's going to increase. Well, what? $2 trillion. No. What did I say? $1
trillion. $38 trillion. That's another trillion. But I mean, the thing that I always point out is, you know how many days it takes you to count to a million if you count every second?
How many days?
It's like 12. It's only 12 days.
And how many to get to a trillion, though? Because that's probably when it goes.
Well, that's the thing. The billion is like, you know, it goes more like, you know, several years, like 10 years out. 10 years out for billion. And then if you count to trillion, you got to go before Christ when it was.
To be able to count, you know, all that time.
Yeah. To count the 1 trillion one every second.
Yeah. That is, dude, that is so crazy. Like the number is just so large, like you can't even fathom it. I mean, when they start throwing around the trillion like that.
No, it means nothing to you because you're like a trillion. I mean, you can kind of wrap your head around what a trillion means and that many zeros, but you don't really know the quantity of that.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that in the next, and they're saying 38 trillion by the end of the year. You know, they're going to be off. You know, it's going to be a little bit more than 38 trillion. They're going to hit 38 trillion in November.
Yeah, we could hit 39, almost 40. Well, maybe not 40, but 39 possibly.
It's going to be 38 and then some. It's potentially towards 39. Yeah.
Bitcoin market cap hit 1.87 trillion, surpassing Google or Alphabet, I should say, and is now the fifth largest global asset in the world.
Gold, we're coming for you, baby. No offense to gold, because I like gold too.
No homo against gold. Yeah, I think like when it gets to gold, though, I mean, like Bitcoin's at $1 million, I think, plus at that point, if it overtakes gold.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
eventually.
Yeah, I don't see that happening yet, but at some point, I do think that will happen. It seems like it's way too, there's too much positive news. And one thing I didn't bring up in kind of when we were talking about before, Trump signed that executive order to allow people to start investing Bitcoin in their 401k.
Which is awesome.
That is awesome. I want to see if I can move some of my 401k into some BTC. That'd be nice. Yeah, man.
I think I might do that in October 2026.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's a good call. Yeah, wait a little while, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see, trying to see what else major stuff out there. So they're still saying Fed rate cut in September. I mean, who knows? I know that Great Britain actually did do a Fed rate, well, not a Fed, they don't call it the Fed over there, but a central bank rate cut recently. And I want to say that brought down their interest rate to 4%. So you don't think the Federal Reserve will follow suit?
To me, it looks like a controlled demolition. I think they're just letting this train keep running until it derails. And I think they're just going to keep the speed at what it is and just let it happen. That's my opinion. I could be totally full of crap, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think it depends on how that's all going to play. Like, I still go back to, I feel like there's something there with the stable coins. And I know I've talked about this, and I feel like they don't want to really, I know they need to inject cash into the system. I mean, obviously we're still seeing it with inflation. It's still happening, but they don't want to inject it necessarily directly into where it's going to affect the housing or traditional assets, because those are already so high. And all of a sudden you're going to end up with like Elon Musk being actually like the first trillionaire if they go too crazy with it. They need to send it somewhere else. And I really think that they're going to use Bitcoin as a liquidity sponge to absorb all that money printing they want to do.
Well, part of me wonders, you know, with Ethereum doing so well, maybe part of that stable coin thing is on the Ethereum chain.
Well, and a lot of stable coins are built on Ethereum, right?
Yep. So I think that might be part of the key that's happening right now with Ethereum, is that's where they're pumping it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's exclusive to Ethereum, but Ethereum's just been outdoing all expectations lately. And that's one of the things I've been thinking is like, maybe that's part of the stable coin thing that's happening right now is, you know, that's what we're seeing right now. And if this is what's happening, it's just getting started.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I completely agree with you, because there's always a lagging indicator. I think we've talked about that before on the podcast, where the money supply goes up first and then Bitcoin will follow after. And the other altcoins and all that kind of stuff too.
You're talking about global
M2 money supply.
Liquidity.
Yeah.
Yep.
And printers are coming online. Like I said, if they're having to spend, I can't remember what the billions are, but it's so many billions a day that they've got, the federal government alone is going to spend every single day till the end of the year. So they're firing up the printers. Just where's all that liquidity going to fall into? Like if they put it into traditional assets and the housing, like we already saw a huge rise in housing that happened from post COVID, right? We saw a huge thing with stocks. We saw that K recovery basically that took place, where it was like everything cratered out and then just boom, back to all time highs within like 2 weeks. Less than that. It was like a week.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely within months. It was just like, yeah, forget what happened.
Yeah.
We're at new all time highs.
We're good. And nobody was working, but yeah, we're at all time highs. Like, what the hell? We knew it didn't make
sense. The economy shut down.
Yeah. The economy shut down. You're not allowed to go anywhere, but check out how these companies are doing. And that's something, I don't know. People need to understand, it's not, because you're seeing a lot with the haves and the have nots right now. It's not the wealthy's fault. They were just smart enough to buy assets, and each one of you should be smart enough to buy assets as well.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say smart enough, because the wealthiest of the wealthy get this money first, and that's what they do with it. And you and me and most of the people listening to this podcast are not in that club. But yes, it's I think the smart move is buying assets. And yeah. I think the best asset to buy is Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Long term.
I agree. I completely agree. So much so that most of my net worth is in Bitcoin. Now, if I hadn't lost it in a fishing accident, you know.
Or yeah, we're just waxing poetical about what if we still had it.
What if we did that theoretical buy of $1,000? Yeah.
That's right.
Anyways, yeah, I am pleased as punch that we're seeing new all-time high again. I'm glad we actually got to record again on the new all-time high. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
I've been a fan. Woohoo!
Woo-hoo! Nothing else. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you do not have one already, please go to our website. That's www.thebitbytepodcast.com, and you can get yourself a Ledger wallet or an Alipal if you want to do true self-custody and become your own sovereign master with your destiny. And then also, you can go in there and you can sign up for our newsletter, and that will get you your hardware wallet checklist, just to make sure you're going through all the steps the right way, because that is terrifying the first time you do it. And you have no one to blame at the end of the day except yourself if you do it wrong. So,
yep. And the first step in that is to test that your addresses are right by transferring a very small amount of Bitcoin first.
Yeah. Don't send a big old chunk of change, because it's funny now, like you could, I'm going to test it with a tenth of a coin. Like a tenth of a coin now is $12,000. It's like, no, that's quite a chunk of change.
Yep. And it's only, well, in relative terms, you know, in the not too distant future, $12,000 it's going to be worth even more than that not too distant future, in my opinion.
I completely agree.
So.
I completely agree. All right. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.